about the book industry. I had never read a book review in my life. I was a good reader. I had never taken a course about writing or been in a workshop. I didn't know any other writers. And of course, it was the time of the boom of Latin American literature, and they were all male. They were all men. And it was happening in the periphery of my life. I was reading their work, but I could never even dream of getting in touch with any of them.
The world-renowned writer Isabel Allende, her latest novel, The Wind Knows My Name. She's the author of 26 books that have sold more than 77 million copies and translated into more than 40 languages. She just recently turned 80 years old. To see all our interviews with Isabel Allende, visit democracynow.org. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland.
So, how much is that golden doodle or adorable Frenchie in the window? Probably a lot, especially in terms of suffering for its parents, who in many cases are living lives of misery in a puppy mill. On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll be talking with Robert Hensley, senior counsel for the ASPCA, about their push to pass Goldie's Act, a bill now in Congress that would ensure better conditions and oversight for the hundreds of thousands of dogs now suffering at the hands of large-scale dog breeders.
The dog that Goldie's Act is named for was one of the dogs that lived in squalor and tragically was allowed to starve to death over several months while USDA inspectors observed her deteriorating condition but did nothing to help her.
That's on the next Voices for the Animals, Friday, July 28th at 10 a.m. on 90.7 KBOO FM. If you love animals, and especially dogs, don't miss it. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. Masks and proof of vaccination are required at this time. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap, and we are back from our summer hiatus. Super stoked to be here. Hot, cold, all the feelings. Up, down, sideways. My name is Tammy, and with me is the amazing, the lovely Althea Billings. How are you, Althea?
I'm good. I'm sweating.
Yeah. I did a little bit. As they say, bust the move, and I yeah, it was a mistake. I'm immediately starting to.
Well, I appreciate it because I feel like you and I are now in the same boat. Because I came in and guys, I'm so sorry that all we talk about is the AC on this show. But Reef, if you're listening, we need help.
It's noticeable.
I came in and it was broken. I don't know who broke it. Anyway, we're gonna be warm and toasty in here for the show today, but we're so happy to be back after our little hiatus.
For sure, the outside is coming inside.
Yeah.
For first time listeners of the program, this is The Gap. We're on every Friday at 8 a.m. It's a two part program where we usually have a news roundup or an interview for the first half, and then a community question in the second half, where we open up the phone lines to you to call in and answer it. And today we do have an interview, super excited, in-person live interview here at the station. We're speaking with Robin Yee, a key player of reshaping Portland's political landscape and a former Charter Review Commissioner. For those who need a refresher, Measure 26228 is an initiative that passed last May in 2022 with 57% of the votes. And over the next 2 years, under this measure, we should see an overhaul of the city governance, including ranked choice voting, establishing four districts with three council members to represent each district, which would expand our city council to a total of 12 members from our current four, as well as instituting a city manager role while modifying the mayoral powers. Robin, it is such an honor to have you here. Thank you so much. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. It is hot in the studio, so I do understand where the term hot seat comes from. I really feel that right now, but it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was actually all a ploy to sort of get you in here and sweating. The AC wasn't broken. We just keep it 90 degrees. so thank you so much for being with us. Obviously, for folks who follow City Hall politics, this week has been quite the roller coaster. As Tammy mentioned, last fall, voters passed these remarkable government structure reforms in Measure 26228. We talked a lot about that here on this show. And the transition is on to get things ready to roll for the November 2024 election. But earlier this week, Commissioners Renee Gonzalez and Dan Ryan introduced three proposals to change these reforms, and this faced a lot of public outcry, so now Ryan has backed off. But at least one of those reforms still has legs, I suppose. And it's a lot to break down, but we're going to work on it this morning. So to start here, I want to hear from you in your words, reminding the listeners what Measure 26228 was and what are the changes that it makes to Portland government.
Yeah, thank you. So, right, the Portland Charter reform was fundamentally about giving Portlanders more of a say in their government, right? Things have been hard over the last few years, but this is a structural problem that we've been facing as a city for over a century. And so what this measure did, right, had many interlinking parts. What at the heart of the reform was saying, you know, Portland is more successful when more people are involved in the government, when we have elections during November's when the highest turnout happens, when the most Portlanders weigh in. We have a stronger government when it's proportional and representative of the different viewpoints and experiences and neighborhoods of the city, that those voices are there at the table to govern and to, you know, solve the big issues that we're fighting. And, you know, lastly, we wanted Portlanders voted to make sure that our city services, right, the government itself was going to be professionally managed and, you know, taking politicians out of, you know, policies that they're not as familiar with or they don't, you know, don't have background in, and instead putting them in a legislative body where they can really, you know, tackle the issues and then let the professionals run the city and run the services that people so rely on.
And then here, so right, this comes together in this package, Measure 26228. It passes with about 58% of the vote. And then this week, Renee Gonzalez and Dan Ryan propose changes. What did they propose? It's hard to not keep saying change because it's like, oh, the charter change, and then they want to change the charter change. But what were their proposals from that work session?
Yeah, I think the commissioners, unfortunately, they didn't quite know themselves either, right? That's at least what they've been citing in the last 24 hours, saying that, you know, they may not be going forward with it because, you know, they were floating ideas and then they're batted down and now they're saying, oh, I didn't know what they were in there anyway. But what I think, you know, at the heart of what they were trying to do was hold on to power, frankly. But, you know, some of the reforms they pointed out was, you know, they stated in order to potentially save costs, they wanted to decrease the number of representatives on the city council, which I think was just, I mean, fundamentally, that's a substantial, substantive change. People wanted more representation, right? They wanted to ensure geographic representation, but they also wanted to see more voices, more perspectives. The city government reflect the people who live there, right? And decreasing the number of seats, flies in the face of that. So that was one proposal. The other one was getting rid of this proportional system and ranked choice voting. They wanted to have a system where you kind of arbitrarily pick your matchup, right? You have all these positions, and instead of running in a pool, you know, running in one district where you're electing, you know, three folks that represent, you know, the spectrum of viewpoints in the district, they just wanted individual matchups like they have now where, you know, you pick your opponent, you kind of game it, mm-hmm. and ultimately, you know, that's just not what the voters wanted just 8 months ago.
Yeah, there's definitely that game in the current system of who's the weakest or who's ready to resign.
Exactly.
And do we think that we can jump on that and find success?
Yeah, it doesn't sound democratic. It sounds to me like the democratic process is being in a way hurt, or maybe not just hurt, yeah, manipulated or ignored even. And Althea and I were talking about it yesterday in our prep call, and I was like, is this a part of this whole like keeping Portland weird thing, or is this just how it goes everywhere? Like, is this a possibility for City Hall to just be like, we know 57% of you voted for this, but here's a new idea?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's so much keeping Portland weird as it keeping Portland in the hands of a tiny few that, you know, or interests that continue, you know, that enjoyed a lot of power and privilege in this city. I think the way this came about, you know, is in stark contrast to the way in which the charter reform measure 26228 that came about. That was a 2-year process. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hundreds of community meetings, thousands of Portlanders weighing in, 18 months of research, and then a very vigorous campaign, right? I think we were all there. It was just 8 months ago, as mm-hmm. a reminder, where, you know, these issues were talked about in every single space, every neighborhood across the city, and then overwhelmingly people, you know, nearly 60% of folks voted for that. That's you know, a higher threshold than the two commissioners that were also just recently elected on the ballot. You know, the charter received more votes than both of those individuals. And, you know, the way that they did this process, they were hoping to air it and in the same week, you know, bring it before the council. Mm-hmm. They didn't release even the language or the draft of the proposal itself until this Tuesday, right? Just a few days ago. And I mean, the results showed it was people were not told what was happening. And it was fundamentally undermining of voter will, right? We weighed in. Portland had one of the highest voting rates in the nation, right? Portlanders weighed in.
Yeah, well, you were there at the work session on Tuesday. You've alluded to this, but what was the response that they got? I believe the word clown car was, or the phrase clown car was thrown around at one point.
Yes, that will be the living legacy from that Tuesday meeting. But, you know, it involved commissioners, you know, claiming to just be asking open questions, right? And following along a slide deck. But I think it was troubling. I mean, it was troubling because it reflected, you know, what I see as conservative right-wing tactics that we see nationally coming, you know, very at the forefront here in Portland, right? Mm-hmm. We saw, you know, elements of election denialism, right? Where we just had, you know, almost 70% of Portland voters weigh in on this reform, and 8 months later, they're starting to question, did people really know?
But what if we just gave everybody else another chance to weigh in? And which I think is maybe fine in principle, but we haven't seen any of the changes yet. So now it's sort of just like second guessing, you know, what they were directed to do and what they said that they would uphold.
Yeah. And I just wonder, and this is kind of a silly question, and you alluded to it a second ago, just, you know, the word power, but what are some of the like interest groups that are driving this, if that's something that you're, you know, that you've looked into, or that if you have any thoughts around?
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly who's kind of behind this. Like, again, it sprung up in the same week and then was apparently retracted.
Yeah. Slapped down.
Yeah. And I could imagine that, you know, the same opponents of charter reform, the folks who are really invested in the current status quo or the status quo of the last 100 years, like those entities don't stop. We know that folks who have, you know, business interests at the city council would love to continue enjoying the same amount of access and support that they currently have in this 5-member council, right? Or just there's less folks that you have to wrangle. There's less folks to kind of control, right? When you expand to 12, that just starts to be seeming pricier to them, I would imagine, right? I'm not a corporation, I'm not quite sure, but you know, and folks who are you know, invested in their access into City Hall. So we know that, you know, historically, you look at every election result, right? Over the 120 years of this government, we've only had 6 commissioners that live east of 82nd, right? We've only had, or sorry, two, actually like 2 maybe, east of 82nd, and only, you know, 6 people of color that have ever served. And I think that is, you know, those facts really just show who's been in charge and who, you know, frankly, might be concerned about losing some of that power. So, yeah, and frankly, you know, there is a huge election coming up in November 2024. It's a new system. People are also looking forward and seeing, you know, how can I gain control under that, right? So I think there's also some of that going on.
That's so, it's so interesting. Again, when we were talking yesterday, it was this conversation of this whole process that's coming from City Hall, you know, this last week is exactly, in my opinion, why the charter reform should be enacted, you know, which, yeah, again, people voted for 57% of the people. So the proof is in the pudding or in the taste of the pudding. I don't know, but there's proof and it's there.
Well, and I think so part of like the process that they were trying to use is having City Council refer it to the November 2023 ballot, which famously, not a big election, they would actually be the only jurisdiction creating a ballot measure for that. So it was pricey, and that's part of the motivation. But even just seeing that the number is, you know, they could be a 3-2 vote to then put this in, even just the numbers of that is really staggering. So, you know, this seems like it may be dead in the water, most of them. But I do want to ask you, what would be the result if this had made it to the ballot and voters approved them? How would it, you know, augment the process that is now, you know, sort of on this breakneck transition speed of trying to get things ready for 2024?
Yeah, if these changes came about the way that they did, right, they were shortly hoping to sneak it by in summer, right? People are on vacation preparing for Barbieheimer, right? That, yes. That they were hoping that it would pass. They're hoping that it would bring it up next Tuesday or next Wednesday for a vote. But the consequence of that would be devastating. It would signal first and foremost that it does not matter what the voters say, right? We wouldn't have a democracy, right? Yeah. And that would, you know, hopefully be really clear to folks. I also think, how discouraging would it be to say we invested, you know, the Charter Commission and so many other volunteer bodies across this city that do amazing work, right? Like Portland has rich civic life. People are involved. This signal would say it also doesn't matter your work, right? The work you put in, well, if we disagree, we're just going to overturn it. And frankly, you know, the commissioners themselves had every opportunity to weigh in over the last 2 years and during the election. And they certainly did. Like Mayor Wheeler, to his credit, admitted that. He said, you know, I had meetings. I voiced my opinion. I knew that the process was going. You know, I didn't agree with everything, but the voters weighed in, right? So I think I look at the consequence of, yes, the substantive change, define the will of the voters, but, you know, what would it send about being involved in Portland or Portland elections, right? Or Portland democracy or governance? I think those are a huge consequence. And, you know, yeah, exactly. We need a form of government that is truly representative and involves people and gives people faith that what they want is carried out when they weigh in on an election, that's what they're going to get.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, it's really like autocratic. It's really bizarre that such a consolidated amount of people can overrule the public's will in a way where it's not, paving roads, stuff like that, it's all like super important, right? But this is a measure that specifically goes towards balancing power or redistributing it, literally going from 4 people to 12 people, which is also, you didn't say it, I'll say it, you know, more expensive to bribe people when it's 12 people opposed to just 4. So it's startling, it's really scary, and it seems like it goes against a lot of the values that we claim to have as a city, that City Hall claims to have in all of their mission statements and all their, you know, on all their statements that they've had. So it's, I think I agree with you that I think that there is this right-wing element to it in the way that they've been conducting themselves, and also some of the the dog whistles that they keep kind of comparing things to, and talking, and the way that they talk about the city, a little how they talk about voters. Althea, you put some interesting quotes in our prep notes around it, around stuff that Renee Gonzalez has said. So
yeah,
it's really just it. This could be very discouraging to people. So I'm really stoked that you're there. You're doing the work that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to maybe address directly some of the things that Gonzalez and Ryan were complaining about, and I don't totally mean to conflate the two, because I guess they sort of have a different position. Ryan has been releasing statements about, like, hey, no, I didn't even know anything about this. I was just there to check it out. But one of these was this kind of budgetary concern, right, about that it's going to be so expensive, Portland, to pay for 12 people's, you know, salaries, and it's going to be so much money, and also we have to redo City Hall, and that's going to cost a bunch of money. Thoughts on that? Response to that, I suppose.
I think democracy is worth investing in, and I think that's what the voters said. I mean, the city population has tripled over the last 100 years, but the size of our council has not. Like, yeah, government takes money, and fundamentally we're trying to make those investments to bring about a new future for Portland, and I think that's really important. But yeah, of course, like fiscal stewardship, you know, careful management of money, that's also what the voters passed too. Like, they want to see a more functioning government that understands cost and, you know, is managing them well. That's why they want this new form of professional service in the city. Right. And they want more representation and want the districts to weigh in. Right. Mm-hmm. I also just think fundamentally Portland voters voted for charter reform, not despite the issues that we're seeing on our streets and the resources we need to combat them. It's because they see those problems. They wanted to see a more functioning, effective, efficient government that, you know, doesn't just change its mind based on the whims of a few commissioners, mm-hmm. In a random, you know, week in July. They wanted to see consistent planning. They wanted to see a vision. That's why they voted for the charter. So I think it was disappointing and frustrating to see it pitted against each other, because I think that's why people voted for this charter reform, right? Because certainly the way it's going now is not working, clearly, right?
Right. Well, and yeah, I think also, I don't know that this has been like looped into it in this conversation, but it was, I believe it was part of the actual, you know, campaign to pass it, which is that, you know, yes, there's more money being spent on paying city councilors and potentially these renovations that are needed, but there's going to be so many savings in not having all of the city bureaus decentralized in 5 different people and redundancies and like all of these things that make our city slogan, the city that works, kind of ironic. I want to ask, so one of these proposals we haven't quite touched on yet is the mayoral veto. And this is the one that seems like maybe it still has a life to it. Dan Ryan says he's going to try to refer it to the 2024 ballot. I believe Carmen Rubio said she's interested in it. But of course, the November 2023 ballot would cost like $600,000 or something to even put it in front of people, so they don't want to do that. But to specifically address the mayoral veto, what would that mean for charter change? And is that something that you on the Charter Commission considered?
Yeah, absolutely. When we talked about our form of government and, you know, what we saw as the role of our elected leaders to move Portland forward, we absolutely talked about balance of powers, about what, you know, the new mayor role, what opportunities that person can really push forward, what the council can really manage, and what the, you know, city administrator can professionalize throughout the city. So we spent 2 years, you know, consulting the experts, talking to other jurisdictions, talking to Portlanders, talking, you know, debating this, writing 6 progress reports, you know, there was a lot of this conversation. And what I'll say is that, yeah, I mean, you know, mayoral veto is a really interesting question. You see different forms across the other cities. I think what it came down to was, under the system and all of its parts together, there was, Portlanders told us, and the Charter Commission debated and thought, you know, they don't want to see more power in a mayor, right? People mm-hmm. thought about our current system and said, what if we gave even more power in the hands of fewer people or one mm-hmm. person? Mm-hmm. And that really wasn't what people wanted at the time. I think that when we break it down under, you know, a 12-member council, and I might, you know, say some numbers here, might sound like math, but just follow me here, right? Mm. Like, what we're saying is that majorities should govern, right? Well, if we elect a council that comes from all, you know, four districts in the city that, you know, represents a wide spectrum of viewpoints and perspectives, they come together. That is governance. They figure out what's going to work, the majority rules. But when we add a veto, what they're saying is, if you happen to be aligned with the mayor, that, you know, a group of 5 out of the 12 of you can just block the work of the council, right? Already in a 6-6 tie, the mayor gets their way, right? Their viewpoint will hold. 7-5, that's, you know, 7 out of 12, that's already close to 60%. That's actually about the percentage that the charter passed, right?
Yeah.
That is a prevailing viewpoint in the council. That should rule the day. But adding a mayor of veto says, well, you have to have 8. You have to have 2/3, 66% of the same of, you know, the votes just to get your way if you happen to disagree with the mayor, right? And I don't know if that's the system that we want.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that it kind of one of the things that Dan Ryan was saying about it was like, "Oh, we have to have checks and balances." And even, I don't know, yeah, this is something I was like reading a book about this week, but even that sort of idea of checks and balances is kind of like comes from a, not maybe not for Dan Ryan, a disingenuous place, but it's sort of a mistaken idea that checks and balances are how democratic bodies should govern, and that, you know, we're in kind of like a weird moment in time, but ultimately, legislative bodies are the ones that are the most responsive to specific people and, you know, guarantee you the consent of the governed, which is like the whole point of having a democratic government. So that was like connections I was making this week. I was like, checks and balances. I don't know about that veto. I don't know if we like need one guy to be like, hey, I'm the voice of reason. Hey, guys, what are we doing? Something too progressive, probably.
That sounds like how everything in City Hall is going. Like that sounds about right. It's like, hey, guys, come on now.
Everybody cool it. Another concern in this work session that Gonzalez voiced was that there wouldn't be 12 qualified people in the city to sit on the council. How did that assertion go over?
I mean, I think to all of us, any listener out there, I mean, that's an insult, right?
Yeah.
Like that's
ouch.
That's usually not like a slick move to insult your own voters. But I think that there's incredible people in the city that because of the new form of government, you know, one of the main goals of the Charter Commission, and we hope to see how it goes, right, in the new form, is to lower barriers so that more people can throw their hat in and say, here's my ideas, here's my perspective. You know, look what I can bring to you know, governance in 2025. So I'm really looking forward to seeing who does step up, right? What voices emerge? What voices previously were shut out because, you know, they didn't have connections to money, they didn't have connections to downtown or what have you, right? Maybe if the commissioners are thinking from their own perspective, you know, maybe they're talking from their lived experience, like, oh man, well, you know, I'm here and I can't imagine, you know.
12 other people who ran a city soccer league.
Yeah.
I do have a question about that, because you mentioned that you said the barriers and, you know, the measure, and obviously, you know, I agree with that. But for listeners who might be saying, wait a second, I don't want barriers to, I want people in City Hall who can overcome barriers. I don't want someone who's quote unquote underqualified to be in City Hall, so you shouldn't be removing barriers. So can you explain what you mean by barriers and how that doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't mean that people aren't qualified to serve.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, having geographic districts, you know, just right now in our elections, they've been, you know, for the last 100 years at large, which means you got to talk to, you know, 650,000 people across the city. That just takes an incredible amount of resources that is, you know, frankly, not necessarily available to any person. And so, you know, when you're contained in your districts and you're out there talking to voters, you know, it's just way more manageable. The public financing program that we have in Portland, small donors, right? I mean, that was actually one of the things that they were debating on Tuesday, right? That they were saying, well, because we have this unique one-off election where the whole government's seated, yeah, it's going to take more resources, but it's worth it because we're trying to put more people in a position where it's not just how much money you have or how much money you can summon that determines whether or not your voice is heard. So, and that was on the chopping block. They were saying, oh, maybe I don't want to fund that. Some of the commissioners on council right now were beneficiaries of huge dark money that was, you know, independent money that came in, poured in support of their race. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that really falls on false ears. But I do think that also because, you know, the living wage that is going to be tied to the councilors and the ability to really represent your neighborhood or your constituency, those are just going to be so much more appealing to really give people a strong reason to want to run. And I think that that's also lowering a barrier, right? To really give folks an idea of what they can accomplish, what viewpoint might be missing that they can bring into the conversation. And that's really exciting. I hope 2024 is a year of possibility for Portland that way.
Yeah.
It feels very exciting.
Yeah.
There's just so many great, awesome people that right. I can think of. I'm like, I don't know if you want to be in city council, but I will do your campaign for you because you're that dope, you know?
Yeah.
I can think of 12 people I've talked to in the last 2 weeks that would be great. You know what I mean? Well, okay. So, right, you were on the Charter Commission and were helping out with the campaign for Measure 2628. Is this kind of intervention or meddling something that charter commissioners and people who help pass the measure, is this something that you anticipated?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's why coalitions need to stay strong, need to stay together. And frankly, like it's enjoyable work, right? It's people who care. They want to see. They want to see at least the thing that we all came together around be given a chance, right? Like. Again, one of these like conservative right-wing tactics is to break the thing and to be in government, break the program, and then blame the government for not executing it correctly. You're like self-sabotaging, right? Like give it its chance. No one ever said it was going to be perfect, but how can you know outcomes without ever seeing it, right? And Tammy talked about the fear-mongering too, right? Like they're pulling it in, comparing it to like Measure 110. It's like, are we saying that like expanded government is criminal and we're decriminalizing that and like that's the frame, right? That's just like what's happening. It's pure fear mongering, right? This fear mongering of like, oh, we can't find qualified people. You know, I wonder what that means, right? Like, let's look. What does that mean? Wink, wink. Like, we can't. You know, they'll come in and they'll be like in government. Like, we can't have that. We can't have those type of people in government. It's just fear mongering.
Yeah.
It's sabotaging. It's election denialism.
Saying that the voters can't trust themselves or...
Right. I mean, the same ballot that elected them, you know, passed the charter. Right. So what's, like, should we question the validity of your election? You know, like, Portlanders are smart and they contain multitudes. And let's just keep going and trying to reflect that in our government.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, right, this whole saga happens over the course of a week. Where does that put us now? And if listeners are interested, are there like resources or things to keep an eye on as we go forward?
Yeah, well, where does that put us? I mean, as you can see, like it can be a week and they put it on the ballot, right? And then in an election where like, yeah, people are correct in thinking there is no November 2023 election. Like that, you're correct, Portland. Like you get a break. But not if these folks, you know, find the opening and do it. So we have to stay vigilant, unfortunately. They'll continue to, you know, I think try to hunt progress down. They've already indicated other ballot measures that pass with overwhelming majorities that they want to, quote, reconsider. I think that's so dangerous, again, to, the, you know, what we talked about, undermining the will of the voters. And, like, it's starting to feel like they don't even care if you know that they're undermining your voice and your decision. They question it after it happens if it disagrees with theirs. I mean, we have to follow along and, you know, oversee our own government. So I think you folks should support their local journalism, right? Their community, nonprofits, independent radio, right? Because unfortunately, they didn't talk about these things or do a public process or community engagement. It was like, if not for our news, you know, and wonderful journalists who are covering this beat, we wouldn't even have known about these proposals, right? The other commissioners didn't even know about each other's proposals, or that's what they claimed when they were interviewed. Like, that's a problem. And I think in the new government, that's something that absolutely has to and will change, right? Where we have more transparency, more public engagement, not just... these, you know, these things that come in a week, and if you don't pay attention, they would have come up for a vote next Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you have to also email and call your city commissioners. You can kind of see some of them are quite wishy-washy. I think apparently they govern by anecdote. So why don't you send them that email and that phone call and let them know that, you know, I too am a Portlander, I'm a voter, and this is what I think, because, you know, maybe they just listen to the last word that they hear in their ear before they march off to do their things. I don't know. I mean,
opportunity for people with storytelling chops.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know what's in their mind, but I can only go off what I see, right, in council and in the news, and it's just like, we just have to keep saying our piece, unfortunately.
Yeah. The grind never stops.
We'll be here to amplify it anytime that we can. Really appreciate all the work that you're doing. Is there any websites or anywhere where folks can learn more about this?
Yeah, I think the city staff and the folks who are who are really doing the hard work of implementing this, they have great resources on the Portland website. So, you know, follow along with the Independent Districting Commission. They have to wrap up their work by September 1st, right? This is the body that creates the districts, that helps you know which district you're going to be voting in and what the connections are between them. The Salary Commission is also wrapping up their work in the next 10 days, right? They're going to be releasing kind of what, you know, the job descriptions for our counselors. And I just actually think the City of Portland's website has really great resources. They're doing a fantastic job. They have done it, you know, throughout the Charter Review Commission and now with the other independent bodies. Like, just continue to stay engaged in your government, because this is so exciting. Like, not many places you get to start anew in a positive way in 2023, 2024, right? Like, that's really, really exciting.
Yeah. That's definitely something that Tammy and I talk a lot about, is like, oh, something bad's happening. Ugh, city council's doing this. At least measure 26228 is coming into process.
Yeah, 100%.
But still needing to be like, it's not even a given. So, you know, keeping your eye on the ball, I think, is important.
Right. I mean, you know, it, like, for sure, it's a faster implementation, right? 2 years from when it's passed to where it starts. And yeah, I mean, that is, you know, that's anxiety producing. But, like, I feel like this last week has really shown, like, oh my gosh, like, it can't come fast enough. Right. Like, this is the right timeline, because we don't get many more shots at trying to fix what's broken in our city politics, which is like undermining the will of voters, broken trust, people who pour their heart and soul into this work and then are just undermined by the very people who are elected to protect the public interest, right? Yeah. So this can't come soon enough, but, you know, together as a city, I think we can make this happen, and we'll be cool again in the national news. Like, they talk about us in a positive way, right? You know, they talk about this.
That might be wishful thinking. Yeah, but, well, you know, we can dream.
We can absolutely dream.
Yeah. Well, Robin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. And thank you for all the work that you do and staying on top of, you know, City Hall and all the kerfuffles that happen there.
Thank you for not letting them gaslight us, because they're trying really hard. That's really hard, for sure.
Yeah, it's not just me. It's a whole, you know, group of folks, the coalition, folks who brought you this measure and will continue to stay vigilant. So thank you all for your work. Keep it up.
Thank you. Okay. Well, folks, this is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We're going to take a quick musical break, and then we'll be back for our call-in segment. Stay with us.
And we are back here on KBOO Portland on The Gap. Whew, that was a good turnaround we just did. I love that interview.
It was a great interview. Shout out Robin Yee from the Portland Charter Commission.
Yes.
Thank you for answering all of our questions and stuff.
A lot can happen in a week.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm going to find that soundbite of the there aren't 12 people in Portland who can govern.
And put I have it. I'll send it to you. I have that.
That some was going on a t-shirt. Speaking of t-shirts.
Oh.
I am pulling out the newspaper.
Okay.
For our community question, we're here at the bottom of the hour. This is where we open up the phone lines for you, the listener, to call in and answer our community question. And today it is... it's a Willamette week. That's what you're hearing, rustling around.
Uh-huh.
They published their Best of Portland earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out KBOO, number 3 for best radio station.
You!
It is what it is. You know, when you're the sun, the stars are going to be jealous. You say, why? Why are they shining so much? The sun is nothing but a star. Well, you know, not every star is the same.
So true. And read them and weep.
Read them and weep. And also shout out to Shady Pines, because they've been doing it for, man, they have been out here.
Yeah.
Stickers, internet, radio, everything.
Yeah.
But our community question is around the list, the Best of Portland list.
Have you seen it? What do you think? What's on your Best of Portland list, or wherever you're at? What's your best of? And some of these categories.
It gets very detailed.
There's the best mortgage broker. And you know what? Good for them, because I don't have any kind of information to rank mortgage brokers. But there's a lot of interesting stuff here. So if you want to give us a call and let us know what you think, 503-231-8187 is the number. Do you want me to test that to make sure the phones are good? Or
Yeah, I just tried to do a reset, but there is...
give it a little thing. I'm also... Yeah, okay. This is very exciting, you guys. We love... So this is, am I totally sure what their methodology is? No.
I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. And then Althea did point out that that the poll is sponsored by New Seasons, and New Seasons is also the top grocery store on the list. So
yeah,
that's take that with a grain of...
You getting a call over there or no?
Of salt. In a second, I hope. Let's see.
No, it's on the night transfer. Let me go fix it. Maybe okay. You want to tell the people some of the ones that won?
Oh, yeah, I would love that.
Okay, I'll be right back.
So if you are looking at your newspaper, and it's also online if you don't have the new access to the newspaper. And the list starts on page... Oh, my God. Oh, I think I may have... Okay, well, the list starts over here on page... it starts with the best ideas. Best animals, best newspaper. Sorry, I'm. Oh, best eats, best places. The thing that got me the most is definitely all of the. Ah, there we go. Sorry, that was just me ad-libbing the whole time. Boom, there it is. Open it up. Page 43 is where it starts. Arts and entertainment is where we're at. Next up is some people. I like how they had one. Item for politics, but they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I think I'm getting
over
through now.
Seven.
So the phone lines are open.
Cannabis ones. Phone lines are open. It's hard to ad lib when it's this hard. 503-231-8187. We want to hear from you. Actually, hear from you. What do you think of this list? Are you on this list? Opinions and all.
It is fun to like go through it and be like, oh, I know what that is, or. Oh, I've heard of that. I'm so glad they made the list. Stuff like that. Best radio station, obviously, we're excited about. I don't really have as many opinions about the cannabis stuff, but from the people I've talked to, some of the choices are legit, so I love that for them.
Meraki's killing it. I think that the mortgage broker stuff, I was just like, tell me you're not a millennial or Jenna, tell me you're not a young person without telling me you're not a young person. Mortgage broker? I haven't heard that name in years. Who's buying houses?
Mortgage broker. I think we went to high school together.
Who's breaking mortgages and who's buying houses? What's going on?
There we go.
I did like the things like best iPhone, best phone repair.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
Stoked on that.
I stay breaking phones, so boom.
I was looking at the food list as well. Some restaurants are on here multiple times. So
I don't like that.
You don't like that. Interesting. I mean, they're well loved, you know.
I guess, but if you're I don't know, doesn't sit right with me. Yeah. You know, you can pick a lane. Pick a lane and stay there. Let the other people do their thing. But yes, again, we're talking about the Willamette Week Best of Portland poll reader for this year, which was published this week. You can look it on your physical newspaper starting.
It's also on their website, bop.week.com.
Well, if you want to be fancy about it.
That's where I'm looking at it.
I think it annoyed me that like the Portland Art Museum was there for best art gallery as well as best museum. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like there are so many galleries in this town. You're trying to tell me you couldn't put, I don't know, bought and paid for.
Put it this way. I think you would get different results if you had to only be up for one option there. And I don't know that the Portland Art Museum is a gallery in the same way that galleries are galleries. But also, you know, like, how much are people being like, I've been to every gallery in this town and Portland Art Museum blows them all out of the water? Or is it Portland Art Museum is a gallery I know the name of, right? Like, how informed are people on these choices? But then I don't want to question the intelligence of the voters.
No.
You know, I don't.
We're not Rene Gonzalez here. and we have April on the line. April, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. I have not seen the list. I do not have a paper, and I do not have a computer, so I haven't checked that out. I would be interested what the best political idea is on there.
Mm.
I think my number one thing the last couple months, actually, has been the charter review reform. Mm. I'm a Portland native, and things have gotten really ugly in Portland the last few years, mm-hmm. and my quality of life has gone way down over the last couple decades. And I'm really excited about the charter reform.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it were here already. Portland has gotten to the point where I personally do not have the money to take advantage of just about anything in Portland, so anything that costs money is not going to be one of my favorites. Mm. I mean, the only things I can really enjoy are like meeting my daughter at a coffee shop and food carts.
Yeah.
So those are my best things in Portland, but the most hopeful thing is the charter review.
I like that.
So I was very glad to hear that hopefully some of the ideas of the misguided outrageous commissioners are not going to go through, and I hope none of them do.
Yeah.
Because we voted for change, and, you know, the mayor having a veto isn't exactly change.
Well, I think we found one of the 12 people that could possibly be on there, so we're, you know, I like your idea.
Making some kind of sense over there,
making
April.
Making sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I called in, and I let both commissioners know that yesterday.
Good.
So, thank you.
Doing the work, too. I will say there is a best political figure vote here.
Mm-hmm.
Winner was Senator Ron Wyden. Second place, Tina Kotek. Third place, Joanne Hardesty.
I would have put Joanne in first place.
I hear you.
I
mean, she's been doing the work for, like, you know, what, 30 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost close to, anyway.
One of these days, Ron Wyden's going to bring home Medicare for All for us, and we'll be stoked when that happens.
That would be good. Yeah, if we can last that long.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't get sick.
Okay, I'll try.
Yeah. Easier said than done. Goodness.
I retired because of my health, so that's probably not going to happen.
Best free event would be another good kind of thing to vote for.
Portland doesn't have many of those anymore. I mean, except for like the concerts in the park and stuff, which are like, you know, out way too late for those of us who, you know, aren't able to be out late anymore and don't have cars.
Mm.
So, yeah, Portland used to have a lot of free events. So,
do people want free events, Portland? Just putting it out there.
I would like to see that.
Well, we'll try to get some more weekend happenings on our show of free events so that folks can, you know about what's happening.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you, April.
Have a great day.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Boom, there it is.
Boom, there it is.
And, you know, anyways, if you're interested, before I start editorializing, if you're interested in calling in, please let us know what you think about the Willamette Week's Best of Portland for this year. 503-231-8187. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinions.
What's your best of Portland?
We want to hear the hot tea. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you don't like.
Yeah, Tammy and I were joking about a worst of Portland list. Which I feel like is something the Willamette Week would do, but they can't sell advertising around it, because you'll notice that in this issue of the Willamette Week, every advertisement is like, we're the best bagels 3 years running. Thanks, Portland. Which, you know, I think that I'm going to make a bold statement, and that's that there should be print papers around this town, and Willamette Week doesn't charge. So for that, I love them.
We have Arthur on the line. Arthur, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Good morning. Best T-shirt idea.
Mm.
Dan, here we go. Dan Ryan and Renee Gonzalez are not qualified to hold office and should step down. I'm gonna hang up and have you ladies comment on that. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Arthur.
You. Boom. I mean, you know what you do. It is what it is.
You got her sputtering over there.
I don't know what to say.
I'm just trying to think of what kind of graphic or what kind of font. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when it comes to a best T-shirt idea. But, you know, I echo what Tammy said. Is this how we're keeping Portland weird? Irony is alive and well in the city of Portland. Maybe that can be on the back of our T-shirt. If other folks want to call, we're talking the Best of Portland list from Willamette Week. But we're also inviting you, what's your Best of Portland? Please let us know. 503-231-8187.
And we have Dan on the line. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got my three worst of Portland.
All right.
Worst commissioner right now, Renee Gonzalez. Worst Business Alliance. Portland Business Alliance, or whatever they branded themselves now.
They did switch it up.
And worst association, union, Portland Police Association.
Mm.
So, yeah, there we go. I really can't stand them all. They're all working hard to make fascism a thing here in Portland, and I'm tired of it.
Thank you, Dan. I agree with you.
We appreciate you casting your vote for the worst of Portland.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. Hey, good morning and have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah, the people have spoken. The people are speaking and they have spoken.
Yeah.
We have another caller on the air. You are with us.
Hi, this is Jabara from Vancouver, but I lived in Portland for 22 years and it's just across the river. I used to work for a newspaper in Idaho and we had the best of, but we were able to write in our selections rather than being able to only choose from four, and that really limits what you can do. And I don't think it's really fair, and obviously it's geared toward advertisers. I do appreciate the Willamette Week though, and of course they need to exist, and that advertising helps them with that. So, and there's so many free events. That's mostly what I do, but they are on the computer. That's the problem.
Mm.
I'm not sure how else you would find out about them, really, unless you guys want to do a lot of posting on that.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Flyers, a little community events calendar kind of thing.
People need to know. The good people need to know.
They do. They do. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you. We appreciate it. A little peek behind the curtain of how these lists get compiled.
Ask and you shall receive the answer.
Mm.
You'd mentioned when we were talking about it that it'd be cool if they had like a small business only best of.
Yeah. That like not, like just exclude the corporations, exclude if they have like more than, you know, 30 employees or something. Like whatever the line is.
For thrift shop, one of them was Goodwill. And listen, I love Goodwill.
I do too.
It is. But it's, you know, give the... What, is the little mom and pop's thrift shop going to compete with Goodwill?
Right, people
Industries?
Know... Right.
And get out of here.
Yeah, Industries is in the name. Yeah, I think that, like, a subset being small businesses or Portland local stuff, I think, is... Because, you know, I mean, you also think about, like, what do people do with this list? One, I'm going through and seeing if I know any of the things on the list.
Sure.
Two, do I agree? 3, does it inspire me to be like, you know what? I haven't had a bagel recently. Maybe I should go to one of the 3 that were nominated or one of the 3 that made the top 3. And so for that reason, I think, you know, keeping New Seasons and Trader Joe's out of the best grocery store competition, like, kind of makes sense, you know, if you're somebody
who pay for it.
If you're somebody who's looking to branch out, if you're somebody who's looking to shop local, as many of us are these days, you know, I don't know. I got some ideas. Willamette Week. Call.
Yeah, well, yeah, call
right now. No.
It would be, I do like seeing how, like, it goes to show you, like, they had a couple of things that's like best bartender, best DJs, and it's like, you know, Pete, that's us. That's like, because I remember a couple of people, they're like, please add my name to be nominated to be best of in Portland, and people do that, you know, and that's that community organized, you know, it's cool, I like it, but, you know, again, I just assume that if your name has industry in it, industries as in more than one, then perhaps, you know, you should give, like, the mom and pop shop a chance.
Give the mom and pop shops a chance. Give them a shot.
All we're saying.
We got, like, 2 to 3 minutes left if you want to call about the Best of Portland list that Willamette Week put out, or let us know what's your Best of Portland or your Worst of Portland. We did hear some of those. A thing about the Worst of Portland. Factual update, the Portland Business Alliance has rebranded to be the Portland Metro Council.
Someone's getting sued for intellectual property. Someone else's
is
name.
Confusing. Mm-mm. And I mean, look, it's not that surprising that it, like, follows in a long line of city bureaus rebranding. Like the Economic Development Agency is Prosper Portland now, and I think the Housing Authority is Home Forward or something, to try to scrub some of the more overtly racist past on these city bureaus and, you know, obscure the we're not the Portland Business
That's
Alliance.
Not us.
We're
the that
Portland,
was the other guy.
Portland Metro Council, because we're in the Portland Metro. Like, it's confusing enough as is. People don't know where the dang Portland Metro area is.
I just go there, ask them if I can get a ticket.
Yeah.
Say, no, this is the wrong one. It's like, oh, sorry, you had the words in their name.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm
Are we do we need to get come to you about the bus prices going up? Like, we don't like that. Can you do anything? I'm confused. You know, you can't, I mean, look, obviously they can change it, but, you know, I just want the people to be vigilant when they're like, oh, the Portland Metro Council released something about this. It's like, that's not a governing body. They might be elected internally from their members, but not by voters. You know, just we want to reduce confusion. We want voters to be informed, don't we?
We do. And speaking of which, we have Deborah on the line. Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Can I mention a name of a market that I like?
Please sure, do. Of course.
Well Spent Market.
Well Spent Market.
Googling. Mm-hmm.
What part of town is that in?
Well, you have to cross.
Oh, it's right by. It's kind of by us.
Okay.
But it's on Cooch and 9th, in just across Burnside from where KBU's at.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only been here a couple of years, and so I don't know much, but I just love it. It's a gourmet market run by probably, you know, nice locals, and they get local food, and I really like them.
Nice.
There it is. Thank you for that. That's your best of.
Also, I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Put
Another
us on
best
the
of. There it is. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. We do have to wrap it up for today, and we have Veterans Voice coming up after us.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for tuning in, and I know that I just want to mention that for as far as things happening for free, there is a kickstand comedy that is happening every Friday at Laurelhurst Park.
Every other Friday at Laurelhurst.
It's not happening this Friday.
It's not.
So
okay,
it is not happening this Friday. And then there's another Don't Shoot Portland is... hosting an educational workshop from the Oregon Black Pioneers about the history of displacing black folks in the state happening on Sunday in Northwest Everett. You can find out more on the Don't Shoot PDX website. Thank you all so much. This was great. This was great.
Getting a return
back in
to
there.
Form
a return,
for the gap. We're
return.
Glad to be back.
Here it is.
Althea and Tammy signing off. We'll see you next week.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This mother. Girl. Who run the world? Girls.
to create an atmosphere devoid of genre. A place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition. Tune into Passing Sound, the first Saturday of each month at 10 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, or KBOO.FM, where we make musical structures for the listener to enjoy.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s. And Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s